Well, folks, you know you're in for a treat when you hear that tune, because it's time for another week of the Rec Poker Podcast. I'm your host, Jim Reed, Bluffsterini in the home game and at Rec Poker Jim on Twitter. And I have the best freaking job in the world talking poker with my friends here on the Strategy Forums edition of the podcast every Monday night while we steal each other's chips in the free nightly home game. All right. I have to thank our sponsors, the Running Aces Hotel, Racetrack, and Casino. Most of what we do here is free. We're a largely volunteer-based organization, so we depend on support from our sponsors and also from our premium members who take part in our training material and study opportunities for only $15 a month. And I'll just ask you, do you like talking poker with friends? Because for less than 50 cents a day, come connect over Zoom with other fun, encouraging poker players, all trying to get better, or sign up for free, because everything starts with a free account at rec.poker, where all you need is an email address and a smile. But remember, you're listening to this in the month of December. So if you've been a good little girl or boy this year, you can take advantage of our naughty or nice sale. And if you enter the word nice at checkout, you'll get your first month for only $1. Now, that is a gift, and I hope that you enjoy that. Why not spread the love? Buy a gift of a $1 premium membership at Rec Poker for a friend of yours or someone you love. All right. They let me host the show on Mondays, but I'm just one man, and I'm joined by just one other man of the Wrecking Crew tonight. You know him as John Somsky. You know him as the home game guru. He is the man who runs our home game club here. And if you want to find out more about me or John, you can go to rec.poker/crew. But don't just take it from me. John Somsky, introduce yourself. And thanks for all the work you're doing on the home game club here at Rec Poker.
Well, I am John Somsky, and I am known as Poker Geek MN everywhere. So we're going to talk about our mixed games, and there's basically three types of mixed games. There's draw games, there's flop games, and there's stud games. So in the draw games, all of the cards are held in your hand, and there are no shown shared public information cards. In flop games, you have a shared board that everyone uses. That's like No Limit Hold'em or Omaha. People are familiar with those. And then stud games is like seven card stud, where you each have your own set of cards, some of which are up, some of which are down. So some of them are private, some of them are public. But we're starting the season off with No Limit five card draw. Five card draw is, when I was growing up in the 70s, this is the game, when you said poker, that's the game everyone thought of. Almost nobody knew what No Limit Hold'em was at that point in time. If you watch television shows like MASH or The Odd Couple, wherever they were playing poker, that's the game they were playing, was five card draw. So in this particular game, it is played without an ante. It is a blind game. So you typically have a small blind and a big blind. And then it is played no limit. And there is a single draw. So everyone will be dealt five cards. And then action will start after the big blind. And they have the option of calling that big blind bet, raising, or folding. And it goes all the way around. And, of course, everyone, just like No Limit Hold'em, you can call any raises or bets, whatever the bets are. Or you can raise again. Same type of stuff. Once everyone has acted, and whoever has cards remaining and is still in the pot, they have the option to discard as many of those cards as they want. And if you want, you can do all five cards. About the only time that would be a good idea would be if you were in the big blind and it got called around you, so you had to put nothing else in and you had no cards that worked together or were good to begin with at all anyway, so you may as well get a brand new hand. Typically you want to have at least a pair or a very good draw if you're going to be staying in these hands. So you know, four to a straight, four to a flush, those types of things. Four to a straight flush should be awesome too. And then after everyone draws, and drawing goes from the dealer, so the small blind, if they're still in, would be the first one to declare how many cards they want, and it goes around the table. And that's interesting information, because based upon how many cards someone else is taking, you can change what you want to do. For example, if someone stands pat, meaning they have a five card hand, you might decide that, you know, you have a decent pair, but you also have four to a flush. You might decide, well, maybe I better stay with the flush, because it'll be an ace high flush versus just the pair of aces. I have to hit a full house in order to beat a made hand. And I guess that's about all it is. I mean, then you'll have, after the betting hand, there's one more betting round after the draws. So, and it's again a no limit betting hand. So it's basically the river at that point in hold'em terms. And then whoever has the best hand at showdown wins.
So John, in case our listeners don't know, every month we are featuring a different mixed game on the second Wednesday of the month in our home game slot, our free Play Money home game club. And every month players will have a chance to compete for a player of the year race based on how well they do in these mixed game tournaments on the second Wednesday of each month. And because a lot of our listeners are No Limit Hold'em players, we're going to be releasing an episode like this one every month, sort of going over the mechanics of the game, sharing some tips from some guests that love mixed games and want to share their love with you, our listeners. And we're going to do this with time for you to practice in our home game club before that Player of the Year tournament happens. So the practice games that we have are on the third, fourth, and fifth Wednesdays of every month. And if I've done the math right, that means that the first practice game of No Limit Five Card Draw is tomorrow, because this episode comes out on Tuesday, December 19th. And so Wednesday, December 20th should be the third Wednesday of December, and it'll be the practice game for the next couple weeks. So dive in there and practice your No Limit Five Card Draw on Wednesday nights between now and the second Wednesday in January, when you'll be able to try your chops against the rest of the folks competing in our mixed game Player of the Year race. So I hope that people do that and come and practice for fun, come and practice for free. Five card draw is that game that I think, like you said, John, we all kind of associate with old Westerns and some of the, you know, the movies that came out when we were younger. This was the game that a lot of people played. And like a lot of draw games, John, I'm guessing the position is really important. You kind of mentioned this earlier, because if you're last to act, whether players drew cards or how many cards they drew can really affect your decision whether you're going to draw or stand pat yourself. Because like if you're heads up and the other player draws three cards, you know, you might be ahead already without even having to draw some other cards, because the draw introduces a level of variance and randomness into what cards they have there. Do you still enjoy this game? Do you play this game when you get a chance to? You enjoy so many mixed games. I'm sure it's hard to play them all. But what's your connection to this game?
Yeah, I mean, this is the game I started playing the most. Mm-hmm. And played it both high and low. We actually played it spread limit when I was playing it, but it's, everything's a little bit different, but there's not a game. I mean, it's like your children, right? You love them all. And I like poker. There is not a poker game I don't like playing. There are poker games that I am better or worse at. And it's interesting because with absolute skill, if you had a something that said, okay, a pure novice who's never played versus someone who plays perfectly. In absolute skill, I'm probably best at No Limit Hold'em. And that's probably everyone is best at No Limit Hold'em. But if you do in relative skill, in other words, how does your skill compare to the population you are playing against? I'm sure I have a bigger edge in some of the mixed games, depending upon the population again.
Sure.
Right. You know, people who sign up for a horse tournament tend to be better at mixed games than just your random people in a casino. So if you could get random people in a casino playing, it'd be better.
That's and a good point.
We should pretend everything that the podcast started off with, everything Jim said. So again, this is, we're going to be going through every month the game that we are playing for that month. This month, or in January, so you start here in February. In January, on January 10th, that's when we're going to be playing the No Limit 5-card draw. So you'll have December 20th and 27th are your two times to practice at it. In other words, you're playing it for the nightly thing. You will be able to earn a bronze pin if you haven't earned a bronze pin for your daily series for the year. But the second Wednesday of the month is the points race. That's the where you really want to go. And please try to beat Taylor Moss.
Yeah. So
that's the main thing that I have to say there.
Well said, John. Well, all right. I'm excited. We've got some great guests lined up who are about to share some of their own thoughts on No Limit 5-card draw and some tips and tricks for how you can get the most out of your play. I guess, John, sorry, one thing I should specify. No Limit 5-card draw is the game we're playing. Is it a single draw or is it a multiple draw?
It is a single variation? Draw.
So you get one draw of up to 5 cards.
Right. And there are 2 betting rounds, 1 before the draw, 1 after the draw.
All right. Well, thank you so much, John Somsky. Without further ado, let's see what some of our fantastic guests have to say about playing No Limit 5-card draw. Chad McVean, give me some tips on how to play No Limit 5-card draw.
Well, you definitely don't want to be drawing 5 cards, especially when it's No Limit, because you're going to be calling some big bets. You want to make sure you start with something solid, drawing 2 at most. But the more people that are in the hand, the fewer cards you want to have to draw. And then you can hopefully keep going in the hand. But the No Limit bet part of it definitely makes it a challenge. It's not a limit game where you can have a few chances to draw. You have to improve 1 card and then go from there.
All right, Chris Fox Wallace, give me a tip on how to play No Limit 5-card draw.
First tip is don't play it. It's just not a very good game. But if you're going to play it, and sometimes you're stuck playing it in some of the dealer's choice events, I do see it, you know, being called. The key is to remember the important parts of pot size. So you're playing a game where there's a lot of bluffing. It's a lot like No Limit Single Draw. And you can't expose your hand as a hand that people can steal from. So, you know, you draw 3 and then bet, good luck. I'm going to raise you every time. And if you made trips, good for you, but you probably didn't. So don't draw 3 to your pair of kings and then bet, unless you can call a raise if you're playing good players. And that means making a good size raise preflop with your kings. Otherwise, what are you going to do when you still have kings and you check, because you have to check if you didn't improve to a monster and may have to check all the time. And then somebody makes a huge bet into you, you know, or, you know, how much can you call off in that spot? So it's really about, like, make sure those raises preflop are big enough. Make sure that you're not putting yourself in a position where you could be exploited, you know, because when you're out of position in a no limit draw game, you can really be in trouble. And so you sort of have to be passive after the draw.
Okay, Mike Patrick, give me some advice on how to play No Limit 5-card draw.
Well, first off, I'd say try to find a better mixed game to play, because nobody plays this anymore. But if you are in a game where there is 5-card draw, then yeah, I got a little something for you. First of all, I'm going to start with this, because this is just a good strategy in any mixed game, any poker game, anything, period. And I am a staunch believer in this. even though some will claim that it is pimping. No limping. No limping. Especially in a lot of mixed games. There are a couple examples that we'll get to eventually. But yeah, definitely do not limp, especially in five card draw, no limit. It's just bad news, just expresses weakness instantly in your hand. So you just don't want to be doing that in that game in particular, or any for that matter. Once we get past that, if you are in a spot where you have a pair and you're going to play it after you've raised, generally you want to have higher pairs in earlier position. You can get away with a little bit lesser pair in later position. But once you've raised that hand and you are going to the draw, if you are going to try to make a hand, you want to be trying to make sets, not two pairs or maybe a set and maybe two pairs of backup. So bottom line is you want to be drawing three. You want to be keeping your pair and you want to be drawing three, not two. So if you have like a pair of jacks with an ace or a king or a queen or something like that, you still generally probably want to be mucking those and keeping the jacks and trying to make a set, because a set's going to be way more powerful than making two pair. So that's just one simple thing, that if you got a pair, try to make a set. Don't try to get cute and, you know, have a backup plan for making two pair and if you don't make that set, because it's just not as likely and it's not generally going to happen for you, and it's just better to have that strong set.
All right, Norman, Chad, excited to have you here. Give us some tips on how to play no limit five card draw.
My best tip on no limit five card draw is don't play it. It is as difficult of a mixed game as there is, other than deuce to seven, low ball draw, no limit draw. While Bill Hickok lost his life playing five card draw, just avoid it.
All right, Rob Washam, give me some tips on how to play no limit five card draw.
First tip I would give is go read Poker Theory, or The Theory of Poker by David Sklansky, because he, when you think about poker strategy, that book is kind of based on the five card draw game. I mean, if you read through it, I mean, there's a lot of similarities in all the poker games as far as bluffing and understanding, odds and things like that. But The Theory of Poker really goes into some five card draw, which is interesting because it's probably the first game most of us learned as kids with five card draw poker. At least I did. And I'm, of course, I'm a little older than most of us, but, back in the day, nobody ever heard of hold'em, you know, so five card draw and seven card stud were the games that everybody knew and learned. Always take note of how many cards your opponent draws to. Now, when you're playing, you know, five card draw, you there's a round of betting and then you discard and you pull cards. Now, some people will do things to confuse you, to make you assume that they have a hand different than the one they have. So, for instance, if you have, let's say you have three of a kind in your hand, you want to discard two, right? Well, that's probably a good way to look at it, because two is going to be either, if you're discarding two, you're either going to have three of a kind or you're going to have some sort of a draw, like a flush or a straight draw, right? So you can do that. Or in some people, they might have a pair with an ace picker, they might draw two. Now that's very confusing to a lot of people, because they're going to assume that you either have three of a kind or you have a straight or a flush draw, when in actuality you have a big pocket pair with a, you know, with a nice kicker. So just, you know, a lot of people will just automatically take as many cards as they need based on the hand they have. But there's some deception that can be used by taking a different amount of cards when you're making your draw. And that is, in The Theory of Poker, one of the things that Sklansky talked about is if you play your hand, how does it go again? You know what I'm saying, Jim. If you play your hand in such a way that your opponent cannot understand what hand you have, it is a confusing way to what your opponent has, then you are going to be able to take advantage of them. And if they play in a manner that's just straightforward, you can take advantage of that. Because if you know that that player will only draw two if they have three of a kind, then you've got it. You know what they have. Their hand is face up. So if you play in a manner that that your opponent cannot understand where you're at, you're going to be at an advantage, especially in five-card draw.
Robbie Straczynski, give me some advice on how to play No Limit five-card draw.
So it's not necessarily how to play, but definitely something of how not to play. Because you can, in principle, draw up to five cards, it's tempting to do that. I don't like my hand. I can't, whatever I get can't possibly get any worse than what I'm holding. Okay, let's draw five. So I would suggest don't do that. Just fold. Sometimes it's okay to fold. Don't pay money for a next. It's not video poker. So don't do that. Don't draw five unless you're really just playing for free or for pennies.
All right, Kathy Chang, you are a mixed game enthusiast. You said you had one sort of tip or piece of advice to apply to mixed games generally. What's on your mind?
Well, I would say for all poker that you want to have good starting hands. That's very important because that sets you up for the rest of the game. And then also good position so that when you have a later position, you can see what the other players are up to, and you can get the most information that you can.
All right. 08 Grinder is here to talk about his love of mixed games. Mike, you said that you had one tip that wasn't specific to any particular mixed game, but sort of for mixed games generally. Why don't you share that tip with our audience here?
Yes, Jim. So I've kind of caught like the mixed game bug the last couple of years. I unfortunately don't get to really play them a whole lot. But I'm so lucky to know some great people who are very good at mixed games, and they've kind of like been able to share their knowledge with me. And one tip that I got from a friend of mine was there isn't a one specific way to play a certain hand in any of these mixed games, right? You can't just say to someone, hey. Like let's say an Archie, right? Let's say, hey, I have 3/8 in my hand. What do I do in this spot? You know, it's not always black and white. You know, there's always like, well, it depends. Where are you on the table? Who's after you? Who's before you? What's been going on prior to this hand? You know, there's a lot of variables that you have to consider. So it's not just, oh, because you have, it's not like in holding, well, oh, you have pocket aces, raise. You know, it's not like that in the mixed games. So I guess instead of focusing on what do I need to do when I have X hand, master the fundamentals. Knowing what the game's goal is. What is the game? What's the goal of the game? Knowing what it takes to win, what hands and plays that win the most often, because you want to be doing more of those, and having a winning mindset, committing to a winning mindset, that will take you a long way. And, you know, when you start to win more, you'll have a lot more fun. And, you know, losing is not fun.
No, but winning's more fun.
So winning's more fun. And then, you know, you'll be motivated to play a lot more because you are making winning plays.
All right, Chris Fox Wallace, you mentioned that you had sort of a tip or some advice for playing mixed games generally. What's on your mind?
If you're playing live mixed games, tells are a real thing. And a lot of people, even way up into the nosebleed stakes, don't think that tells are possible in a limit game. They just aren't afraid of them. They've heard that, oh, you're not going to find tells in a limit game. They just stop looking. They stop caring. I wouldn't have a bracelet if it weren't for physical tells in limit games. I found lots of them that year. You will definitely find those things. Watching people watch flops, watching people look at their down cards and stud, whatever it is, you will find a lot of physical tells simply because people aren't paying attention to them and they don't think that they're a real thing. So they won't even notice you're watching.
All right. Well, that was another fun conversation about mixed games. My thanks to, of course, the Running Aces Hotel, Racetrack, and Casino for their support over the years. To John Somsky and the other members of our Wrecking Crew panel here talking about their love of mixed games. And all our fantastic guests who contributed their segments, their thoughts and tips and advice on how to get the most out of some different mixed games that we're going to be playing. So I'd encourage you, head on over to rec.poker, sign up for a free account there. You can go to rec.poker/homegame and find out all about the different mixed games that are being played throughout the year, a different one every month. And I would encourage our listeners, if you're a No Limit Hold'em player, dip a toe into some of the mixed games. You'll be surprised how much fun you can have. So without further ado, I'll just say thanks for joining us for another week of the Rec Poker Podcast. And I hope I get to see you all again next week or sometime real soon. Good luck on the felt, folks. Thanks again. Bye for now.